All right, John chapter 1, verse 35 through 46 says this. In the next day again, John was standing, this is John the Baptist, was standing with two of his disciples. And he looked at Jesus and walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Wouldn't it be great if that was all we had to do? Is just holler out, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And all of a sudden, the entire world just turned around and said, "Okay, let's follow him." That'd be awesome. But it doesn't work that way now. We're getting there. "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" Everybody say, "Seeking." And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." Come and you will see. Come and you will see. I say that three times on purpose. Pastor's always talking triplicate. So there you go. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Andrew brought Simon to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip. Everybody say, "Found." He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael. There's that word "found" again. We're going to talk about it in a minute. Found. Everybody say, "Found." Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Let's pray. Father God, right now I pray that you would take this fallible being, this fallible preacher, this person that stumbles over himself so much, and that you would take me and push me aside, and that your spirit would be in control from the first word to the last prayer, and that God, you would speak your word to your people today in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. I love being invited places. Okay. Everybody's like, so? I love going places. I love being invited places. I've gotten to go and eat at a few people's places this week, and I got to go and visit with Brad and Claire this week. We had a great time sitting around talking to their friends, Terry and Sherry, this week, and we got to sit down, and we told fish stories, and we laughed, and we joked, and we spilt water everywhere, and we ate some amazing cookies. Miss Claire is fattening me up for the kill. But the thing is, I love this. This is the main thing society wants today, is they want to belong. They want to belong someplace. They want to be invited along for the ride. They want to be invited to come with you, to know that we're wanted, needed, and appreciated. That's what society wants. It's so awkward to show up to some place that you haven't been invited to. You feel like you're intruding on somebody's life. I went and visited Bobby and Jerry a couple of weeks ago, and I called ahead of time and I said, "Bobby, do you mind if I come by and visit with you guys and just sit down and talk?" She said, "Pastor, you can come by anytime you want. You don't have to call." I said, "Yeah, Miss Bobby, I'm going to call because I'm going to make sure that I'm okay." Because there's nothing more awkward than pulling up and sitting down with somebody that didn't know you were coming. Because all of a sudden, they start looking at her watching. "Well, what the heck? How long you plan on staying?" you get that kind of thing? And they're not invited. It's sort of like maybe going to a birthday party that you weren't invited to. You show up and everybody's like, "Oh, you're here. Great. Did you bring a gift?" "No, no gift." "Okay. But you're going to eat our food." "Yeah, I understand that." "Oh, you want something to drink too? Okay, so we'll give you that." You're just going to take. You wasn't even invited, but that's okay. Or you go to somebody else's family reunion. Man, that's the weirdest. You show up. When Amy and I were first dating, I was so nervous going to visit with her family. Now, I was always invited, but it was still awkward. Anybody ever felt that? It was just awkward going and hanging out with family members that you didn't know or people that you didn't know. And you show up, and then everybody's going, oh, who's this? And next thing you know, there's whispering going, who's that guy with Amy? Who's here? Who is that? How long they been dating? What's going on with that? And you feel awkward when you're not invited along for the ride. You don't believe me? Tell you what, those of you with kids, invite yourself along on their next date. Or grandkids, either one. You invite yourself along and be that third wheel. I remember having that situation before, not with my parents, but with a friend of mine that just invited themselves along. And the thing is, it felt so weird. It creates an atmosphere, something unusual in the atmosphere, and you feel so uncomfortable. You walk in, and you feel like you don't belong there. Have you ever thought about how hard it is? Listen, this is going to get home to you. How hard it is to walk into a church that you're not familiar with? Now, see, that's important to remember as a church. Because sometimes I think we forget about that. We've been brought up in the same church and we've been raised in the same church our entire life. And it's very odd when you walk into a situation that you don't really know everybody there. You don't know anybody and you feel awkward. You don't know. It's sort of like walking into the lunchroom at school when you were a kid and you didn't know if any of your friends were going to be in the class. How many of y'all went through that? It felt so weird. I know of a lady that she showed up at a funeral uninvited. And the thing is, she was a different lady. Very different lady. We'll just call her Susie because I don't know anybody in here named Susie. But Susie, she showed up at this funeral. And everybody was like, well, but the thing is, instead of just attending the funeral, she started hanging out with the family. And she was like standing at the casket, welcoming people and saying, we're so glad that you came. Thank you so much. And we're like, who is this woman? Nobody invited her to come and stand by the casket. Nobody invited her to the funeral. It was just weird and an awkward situation. When people show up at a church that they've never been to before or that they haven't been attending very long, it's very awkward and it feels, you don't know, okay, I don't know, where am I supposed to sit in this row or am I supposed to sit in this row? And you don't know, you're always afraid you're going to sit in somebody's seat. Because I literally had a lady one time at a church that I was at. She walked up and some visitors were sitting in her seat. And she walked up to them and she said, and just stared at him for a little bit. And all of a sudden she goes, excuse me. And they're like, yes, ma'am. You're in my seat. It's very awkward. When you walk into a place that you don't know, you don't want that to happen. Amen? Like if I were to walk, if somebody were to do that to you, what would you do, Noah? You don't even know, do you? Because it's weird. If somebody walked in and did it, it's just an odd situation. We want everyone to know, listen, we're so glad that you're here. You belong here. Welcome to Calvary Temple Church, where we believe in three major principles. We're supposed to love God, we're supposed to love people, and we're supposed to make disciples. You belong in this place because you are a child of God. It doesn't matter what your past says. It doesn't matter what your future holds. You are still a child of God, and we believe that you belong here. Turn to somebody next to you and say, you belong here. We need to remember, church, I'm going to speak to our church family for a moment. Those of you that have been here for a little while, let me tell you something. We need to remember what it's like to walk into a church we don't know. Remember what it was like to walk in and not know anybody. Remember how awkward being new can be. We can get so used to being in a place that we think everyone else feels as welcome as we do. We walk in and we're at home. But a lot of people, when they first walk in, they don't feel at home. They feel out of place. They feel like they're walking into somebody else's home. And they need to know, hey, you're invited. You're invited to be a part of our family. You're invited to be where we are. We have to be aware that people are waiting on an invitation from us in society. In a society where anxiety and hypersensitivity rule, we as Christians need to make it overly and abundantly clear that everyone is welcome. Everyone, regardless of age, regardless of color, regardless of background, regardless of who you used to be or who you want to be, you belong here. Turn to somebody and say, you belong here. It is our job to offer an invitation to those that we want to introduce to Jesus. We have to offer an invitation to those that we want to introduce to Jesus. We want them to meet our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let me ask you something. How many people have you invited to His presence today? How many people have we invited into His presence? And the thing is, everything we do as Christians needs to shout, come and see! Come and see what God can do. Come and see what God can do in your life the way that He did mine. Come and see what He did in Brother Dorman's life. Come and see what He did in Rodney's life. Come and see what He's doing in our worship services. Come and see what's going on in our children's church next door. Come and see what's going on in our youth when they come and they eat a bunch of food that they've been invited to come and eat, and then they act crazy at Pastor Aaron's house and he don't mind at all. Come and see this weird little pastor that's short and weird and talks funny and goes into weird voices out and in and come and see what He has to say, because God is moving. Amen. Everything we do needs to shout, come and see. We need to use what we have to invite. And one of the things that we have that we need to use to invite people is our words. Our words. This week, I don't want to jump ahead. Y'all know me, I try to jump ahead way too much. The words that we speak have power in them. The words you speak to people have power in them. Are y'all awake out there? Everybody's like, yeah. So? The words we speak have power in them. When we take friends to a local restaurant, when Amy and I take friends to a local restaurant, see, we're still learning the restaurants around here. Okay? But you guys, normally, when you go to a restaurant that you've been at a good bit, or something local that's not a chain restaurant, what's one of the questions that your friends ask you? They ask you, what's good? They ask you, what's good here? And all of a sudden, I've had people ask me that since I've moved here. Because we've had friends come up and visit with us, and we'd go take them out to eat. We'd take them down to Margarona's, which is like our Mexican place that we'd really like to go to. We'd take them to so-and-so, or this place, or that place. And they say, what's good? And all of a sudden, I feel this sense of power come over me. Oh, I have power. They're asking me, what's good? I control their choices. Everybody's like, man, you were on way too big of a power trip. But yeah, sick and twisted. Everybody's like, I am never going to eat with Pastor Aaron ever again. But they sit there and they ask, what's good here? So what's good here? And at this moment, this change comes over me, a flood of emotion and power, because I start thinking, oh, well, I've got so much power. And just by the very words that I speak, I could change their diet. I could change what they're going to eat. I could change how they think about food. I could change all of this. And I think about it, and I could either set them on the right path to culinary bliss, or I could banish them to the unseasoned and overcooked depths of the food trough. And everybody's like, it is not that important, Pastor Aaron. It is for a pastor. We got to exaggerate. Okay. No, I'm kidding. But the thing is, there's a lot of pressure that comes with that. So a lot of times I'll look at him and say, oh, everything's good. And then I just let it go. But our words have power. In that moment, those words that I have power. Directing people to Christ with our words is the simplest way to be a witness that He has called us to be. Let me say that again. The simplest way for you to share Jesus is with your words. The simplest way for you to introduce people to Christ is to say, hey, come and be in church with me. Will you come to church with me? And just spend some time with me? Our words are an invitation. Somebody say, our words. Jesus was the very first one to offer up an invitation to people. We read all through Scripture about how he initiated conversations that he had with people. He took the initiative and approached others, especially at the beginning of his ministry. He would go and he would talk to them. What's the first words that we normally hear come out of his mouth when he's talking to the disciples? Follow me. Follow me. He gave them an invitation of follow me. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, it says, and he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. John 1:43 says this. It says, the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found him. He found Philip. Everybody say found. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. Jesus was an example for us. He was an example of how to reach out. And I love that word found, because it says that he found Philip. Know what that tells me? He was looking for someone. When you find something, you're usually looking for it. Okay? At least that's the way I... Now, Amy will sit there and she'll tell you, I'm bad about losing stuff. And I'll go and look for stuff all day long. I'll holler, Amy, where's my glasses? Baby, where's my wallet? Where's my keys? Where's my pants? Where's this? Where's that? And the thing is, she's hollering, you're wearing your glasses on your head, your wallet's in your pocket, and your pants are on your legs. Y'all think I'm exaggerating. There's times I've been sitting there, I'm like, where are my glasses, baby? Have you seen my glasses? But the thing is, when you find something, you're usually looking for it. When Jesus found Philip, he had to be looking for him. The word found indicates that he was looking for something. In our scripture today, Jesus was the very first one to say to people, come and see. He's the first one in scripture to say, come and see. The two disciples, they looked at him and said, they started following him. Jesus saw them. Jesus was minding his own business, but again, he is looking for something and looking for people, and he is approached by two young men. And Jesus saw them because he was looking for them, looking for followers, looking for the hunger, looking for the passion inside of them. Can I ask you a quick question? Are you looking for someone to invite to meet Jesus? Are you looking for someone in the restaurant that you go and sit down in? Are you looking for someone that might need a hug? Are you looking for someone that might need an invitation? I went out to eat with Adam this past week, and we went down to a restaurant, and as I was leaving, I didn't spend a whole lot of time talking to this girl, but as I was leaving, he asked, are y'all closed on Sundays? And they said, yeah, we're closed on Sundays. And I said, well, that gives y'all time to come to church. And they said, oh, yeah, well, we could go to church if we wanted to. And I said, well, where do y'all go to church? And the little girl, she said, I don't go anywhere. I said, well, you know what? I'm a pastor right down the road. We'd love to have you come and visit. And I pulled out one of my cards invitation, or you're invited on it. I pulled out that card and said, here, listen, I would love for you to come and visit with me. I would love for you to come and visit with our church and just come and see what's going on in the church. Come and see. Come and see. Those three simple words can change somebody's life. Those three simple words can cause somebody's destiny to be changed. Listen to me, church. We need to be looking for someone to reach out to, looking for someone to impact. John 1, 38 and 39, Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what are you seeking? He could tell that they wanted something more than what John was giving them. He could tell that they wanted something more than just following somebody. They wanted to follow the Messiah. They were looking for the leader. They were looking for the Savior. And they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? And he said, come and you will see. Come and see where I'm staying. Come and he invited them into his life. Church, can I ask you something? How many people do we invite into our relationship with Jesus? How many people do we invite into our lives so that we can be an impact on them? From that moment on, those men's lives were never the same, all because of an invitation to come and see. Can I share something with you? Your invitation to someone seeking meaning or purpose or something more out of life, that describes everybody in the world right now. Because everyone's looking for meaning. They're looking for purpose. They're looking for something more out of life. Your invitation to that person could alter their destiny. Your words have power. And can I share with you this? Your words could have more power than my words in certain situations. Your words have power. Words alter destinies and change history. Words can change minds and hearts. Words can give meaning to the meaningless and strength to the weak. Words can unleash the power of the heavens, or it can stifle the work that can be done. There's power in your words. We hear in the scripture where it says the power of life and death are found in the tongue. We can speak life over the people, or we can speak death. When it comes to witnessing, your words can even have more power or meaning than mine. A research was done by a group from churchgrowth.org. And they asked a bunch of people, how did you end up going to the church that you go to? How do you decide where you're going to go and visit? And there's a graph we're going to put up. It says the 2% of the people said that advertising decided where they were going to go to church. They would see the church on Facebook, or they would see the church's billboard, or they would see the sign out front with a cool saying about, you belong here, and all this other kind of stuff. And they would say 2%. An invitation from the pastor, like I did with this young lady at the restaurant the other day, 6% of people end up going and visiting a church because the pastor invites them. 6%. And then an organized visitation. In other words, we go around and we knock on doors, and we say, hey, we just want to let you know that we would love for you to come and visit at our church. Those are all good things to happen and great things to happen. But look at that very last one. 86% end up going to church when a friend invited them. Your words have more power than mine with your friends. 86%. Can I share something with you? It's not my job to fill these seats. My job is to present you with the tools. And then we go together and we work to bring people into this place and bring people into the kingdom. It's not the pastor's job to make sure that the church succeeds. It's the church's job to reach out to a world that is hurting and dying and lost and who needs an invitation to a loving Savior who cares for them and knows them more than they know themselves. Come on. It is our job to work together. Somebody say together. You're going to hear a lot about that this coming summer. Together. Can I share something with you, though? 98% of people who do not attend church. This blows my mind. 98% of people who do not attend church right now say that if a friend invited them, they would go to church with them. But a sobering statistic is that, again, in their research, only 2% of people that go to church invite people to church. 2%. Can I say we need to do better? We need to be a light in a dark place. Use your words to invite someone to meet Jesus. It isn't about just filling this room. It's about introducing them to the one that they are searching for, even if they don't know they're searching for him. People search for Jesus every single day, but they search for him in the wrong places. It's like that old song, looking for love in all the wrong places. And all the young people are going, what? The rest of you, y'all know it, right? We look for meaning and we look for belonging in the wrong places way too many times. Jesus used his words to invite people into his life and to start a relationship with him. It's our duty to do the same. Use your words, but also use your actions. Everybody say actions. What we can do, what we do can be an invitation or a warning to people. Both the outgoing and energetic actions and the passive laid-back actions that we take, they can all have an impact on somebody. And they either invite people into our lives or they're a warning to stay away. I went to New York years ago when I was in master's commission doing a ministry. And I went to New York, and we would go out, and we would talk to different people, and we would witness to different people. After a while, you could realize who wanted to talk and who didn't. Because you can tell by people's body language, you can tell by the way they act, who really wanted to talk. And there were times where, I mean, if somebody is sitting there with a smile on their face, bright eyes, and you're going to go up and talk to that person, right? You feel free to talk to that person. But if somebody looks like they've been sucking on a dill pickle for about 6 years, and they got that sour look, that's not going to be the first person you're going to walk up and talk to. Right? Why? Because you can tell that there's a warning sign on them. Do not talk to me. I will bite your head off. I remember this one girl that I went to talk to at our church, at another church. She was sitting on the front row close to us. And I went by to talk to her, and I just walked up to her, and I said, "Hey, how you doing today?" She looked up, she went, "Well, that's good to hear. I'll talk to you later." And I just walked on. She literally growled at me. That was her way of saying, "Do not talk to me." Now, some of y'all are going, "Well, she was demon-possessed." No, she wasn't. She just was grumpy. I'm telling you. The thing is, she became one of our closest students that ended up giving us a present later on. She was a great, great girl. But the thing is, I learned who to talk to and who not to talk to, and who to speak with in those times by the way that they act. When we act, The way we act in our restaurants, the way we act in the stores, the way we act around us tells people whether we want to invite them into our lives or we want them to stay away. If you don't have time to talk to the waitress, if you don't have time to talk to the cashier, if you don't have time to talk to that neighbor next to you who needs some help with something, that shows them something. There are days when you come home and you don't want, and you know by the way your wife or your husband or by the way that your kids are acting, that now is not the time to start a conversation with them. You come home and you hear your wife, "I told y'all to clean them rooms and I told you to clean the dishes and all." That's not the time you walk up to her and say, "Hey, baby, how you doing? Here's everything that went on in my life. What's going on with you today?" That's not the time that you, there's a warning sign there. You don't carry on a conversation with them at that moment. I had one of those days the other day. And I had to apologize to my son because I snapped at him about a certain situation. And I put up a sign that was a warning sign when I shouldn't have. Again, your pastor's human. I make mistakes. You'll have to forgive me. If you forgive me, say I do. All right, I'm holding you to it now. Understand that even on the days that God is still trying to use us to make a difference in somebody's life, by choosing to act on God's will for our lives instead of how we feel, we can still bring people to Christ. We may not feel like talking to people. We may not feel like acting like a Christian all the time. How many of you have those days where you just don't feel like acting like a Christian? Yeah. There's times I want to holler and I want to scream at some people. But I calm down though. But I don't do it. Why? Because I want people to see Christ in me. I want my actions to invite them. Some of us have been saved for 50 years, but no one has informed our face. We've been saved for 50, 60 years, but every time somebody looks at us, it's not Jesus loves you. It's more like, "Lord bless them in the name of Jesus. I'm going to..." They parked in my parking spot and all that kind of stuff. Listen, Matthew 5:16 says, so let your light shine. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Some of us need to replace our batteries and our flashlights because we're getting dim. That's what Sundays are for, is to let God pour His power and His Spirit into us and replace our batteries so that we can shine that light of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that you aren't saved if you ain't shining as bright as you always have. But what I'm saying is, let's change your batteries. Let's especially here coming up with Easter coming up, we need to let our actions shine a light on who Jesus is. Notice that scripture says that so that they will see the glory of Jesus. So they will see the glory of God. So they see the glory of God and give glory to God. Our primary job is not to keep people away from His presence, but to bring people to Jesus the way that Andrew did to Simon. Andrew was one of the men that was following Jesus and got his invitation with words. But then his life changed. And then he decided he wanted his brother, Simon, to meet this man who had changed him. John chapter 1, verses 41 and 42. They say, he first found his brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. He brought him to Jesus. Let me say that again. He brought him to Jesus. See, sometimes we're really good as Christians about inviting people and saying, we're good about using our words. Hey, will you come to church with me? Well, I don't know. Okay, well, I hope you do. And then we walk away and we forget about it. But the Bible says right there that he brought him to Jesus. He didn't give him a choice. He went to Simon and he said, hey, you got to come meet this guy. You got to come meet this joker, man. He has changed everything. And Simon from. Listen, I've got fishing to do. I've got things to do. I don't really have a ride, this, that, the other. Listen to me. Sometimes our actions are what needs to bring people to Christ. Sometimes we need to go the extra mile and say, you know what? If you ain't got a ride, I'll pick you up. If you don't know where we're at, I will let you come and follow me. Some of us need to look at somebody and say, hey, if you'll just show up on Sunday, I'll take you out to lunch afterwards. It may be Taco Bell, but I'm going to take you out to lunch and I'll get you a burrito. Do whatever you can. Your actions share with people. You want to know a real easy way? You want to know how we're supposed to bring people to Christ? Again, sometimes it takes effort. It takes effort. Sometimes we got to go the extra mile. Sometimes we've got to keep going. And we've got to give people an opportunity by our actions and say, even when they're saying, you know what, I just don't know if I feel right about it. Listen, you've got to. You want to know how to make sure to get people to Jesus? You bring them. Stand up for a minute. I'm going to tell you something. This is not original to me. I'm stealing this from somebody else. A pastor that did this a long time. You want to know how to bring somebody to Christ? When I tell you, bend over. Bend over. Bend over. I didn't give him a choice. Noah, stand up. Come here. It takes a little bit of extra effort. DJ, stand up. Nah, y'all crazy. I ain't doing that to him. Come here. Listen, I may be crazy, but I ain't stupid. I didn't give these guys a choice. Why? Because it's important to me. My actions. Did I have to go through a little bit of extra effort? Yes. But the effort is worth it. Why? Look at where they're at. They're at a place where they can meet the Savior. They're at a place where somebody can impact their lives. Give these guys a hand. Y'all can go back and have a seat. All right, I got to take a rest for a minute. Seriously. No, you're good, brother. Andrew brought Simon. He didn't give him a choice. Now, I'm not saying that you need to go to your job and kidnap people. I'm not saying, listen, do not go and commit a felony and say, Pastor Aaron told me to do it. I will deny it and I will erase all footage. Okay? But what I am saying is go the extra mile. Sometimes it takes effort and action on our part to bring people to the Master. Ask them, do you have a ride? Can I help you get there in any way? You know, it doesn't matter if you don't have clothes to wear. We accept you just as you are because you belong here. You know, there was a church. This is outside of my notes. I've got to hurry. There was a church that was next door to a strip club. And they started ministering to the girls in the strip club. And some of the girls started coming to church with them. And these girls, they didn't have the right clothes to wear. They didn't have the right things to wear. So they just came in what they had. Now, was it appropriate for what some of them were wearing at the altars or anything? No. But the thing is, we have to accept who they are first. You can't expect the outside world to act like they're saved. You've got to give them an opportunity to meet the Master who can clean them up and make them more like Him. There was a church years ago. They had some visitors walk in. Very traditional church. Nowhere around here. And as these visitors came in, they were looking at them very strange. After the service, they came to them and they said, listen, we're so glad that you came, but next time you come, you ladies can't wear pants. Listen, Art, I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't care what you wear when you walk through these doors. Now, yeah, you need to be smart. But God loves you just the way you are. He loves this world just the way they are. The people that we're going to be accepting into our church and the people that we're going to be introducing to Jesus, they may not have been raised in church and don't know how to act. They don't know that you're not supposed to talk during this time or you're supposed to listen during this time. They may not know that you're not supposed to wear that down at the altar and all the. It doesn't matter because Jesus is the one that changes them. We're just supposed to introduce Him. We got to introduce them by an invitation through our actions. If you're with me, say I am. I got off subject there for a little bit, but y'all just bear with me. The last thing that I want to that we have to use our experiences. Our testimony is a means by which we invite people to Jesus. The first thing that we usually do when buying something online or wherever is we go and we look at reviews, right? We look and see what other people have said, what other people experiences they've had with it. If we see something that has a 4.5 or 5.0 star rating, we're probably going to buy that item or we're going to do whatever that thing is. We get excited about that product. The exact opposite happens if it's got a bad review. If it's got a bad review, all of a sudden we're going, nope, I ain't buying that thing. And we keep looking. Your experiences with God determine whether people are going to delve further into His presence. Your reviews on what He does for you. That's the reason why we celebrate $550 to missions. That's the reason why we celebrate good reports like Brother Rodney, Brother Winston, and Brother Dorman. That's the reason why we celebrate the fact that the places, this church is starting to fill up with people that are hungry with God. That's the reason why we start to share all of this with people because Our experiences make a difference. Listen to me. Philip was so impacted by his experience with Jesus that the very first thing that he did was went out and to seek out Nathanael. In John chapter 1, verses 45 and 46, it says, Philip found Nathanael. Again, found him. He was searching. He found Nathanael and said to him, we have found of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, come, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Again, he told him, we have found him. We have found the Messiah. We have experienced his presence. We have experienced who he is. When we come face to face with the life-changing, destiny-altering, impacting presence of God, we cannot help but find someone and say, come and see. When you look at people and you see people that are searching the way you used to when you were younger, when you were hurting, when you were broken, when you were bitter, when you were hateful, when you were searching for love in all the wrong places, like I said earlier, when you look at them and you see how they're going down that road, you can look at them and say, hey, I've experienced that road, but I've also experienced the life-giving power of Jesus Christ, who has told me who I am, who I belong to, and how I can be saved, and how I can be changed, and how I can be loved. I have experienced my God and my Savior. That is what we can do to invite people. People, you say, why don't you come to church with me? Nothing good ever comes out of church. Oh, yeah? Let me tell you a little bit. Let me tell you a little bit about me. Let me tell you a little bit about what he's done in my life. Your experiences are your invitation. If you understand me, say I do. Your experiences are your invitation. This is why we prepare for Sundays and Wednesdays. It's why we keep going. And I'm going to have to skip a whole bunch. Listen, when people leave after meeting Jesus Christ, when I met Jesus on the altars years ago, my life was changed. My life was broken and changed. And he showed me so much. And I left that place going, you know what? Somebody else has got to see this. Somebody else has got to experience this. That's why we say experience God, discover purpose, invest in the kingdom. The first thing we have to do is we have to experience God and then share that experience with others. When they leave and they end up saying, you ain't going to believe this. You're going to have to come and see what God is doing. The same way that Andrew did. The same way that Philip did. The same way that the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4 did. When she said, come and see a man who told me everything that I did. Notice she said, come and see a man who told me. Not a man who judged me. Her life, as broken as it was, impacted an entire community because of her experience with Jesus. We need to use experiences to bring people to Jesus. Use them to shout, come and see, and introduce them to the one that can bring the same experience of freedom and healing to them. I don't share this message with you because I think we're doing a bad job as a church. As a matter of fact, look around you. You can see the fruits of our labor. We're seeing God grow us every single week, both spiritually and numerically. We're seeing God do amazing things in our midst. We're seeing his presence be poured out. I'm not saying that we're doing a bad job, but I believe that God's presence is strong here. I believe that God is moving and people are experiencing God every single service. Healings of the heart and the body. Freedom is being found by the captives. We are discovering what we are meant to do. We are embodying the foundation principles of who we are, of love God, love people, and make disciples. That's what we're doing right now. So we're not doing a bad job, but every day, be aware that there are people searching for something more outside of these walls. Never lose sight of why we're here. starting next week, I'm going to start a series called The Journey to the Cross. And we're going to be talking about Jesus Christ's journey in his last days as he walked towards the cross. And how important those days are. And how he shared his most powerful messages in his last moments. Through his words and through his actions. My question for you is this. Who are you going to invite to the journey to the cross? Who are you going to invite to walk with you on that journey? Who are you going to bring in? Who are you looking for? Are you looking for someone to bring him in? A family member? A friend? A stranger? It doesn't matter. God has a divine appointment for each one of us to minister to somebody. We just have to use our words, our actions, and our experiences to offer the invitation. If you're with me, say I am. Stand with me today. My challenge for you today is this. Fill the chair next to you. Fill the chair next to you over the next 3 weeks. Pick at least one chair to fill. Look for someone that is searching. I guarantee you're going to find someone. Invite them to get here by whatever means necessary. Your words, your actions, your experiences, whatever it takes. Help them experience the Savior that you know today. And let your life shout, come and see. That's what my challenge is to you today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this room today, and maybe you don't know Jesus, and you've heard a shouting, come and see today, and you want to know him today, if you want to know that Savior as your personal, if you want to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior today, and you want to accept him, if that's you today, all I ask of you to do is raise your hand right now, and you say, I want to know Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now still with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're in this room and right now there's names that are going through your head, there's thoughts of people that you need to be the witness to. If you say right now, you know what? I need to be a witness to somebody this week. I need to witness through my words, my actions, my experiences. I need to be a witness. If that's you today and you say, I want to be that witness. I want to shout, come and see with my life today. If that is you today, and you're in agreement with me today that I'm going to do that this week. I'm going to do that in my life. If that's you, then right now, I just want you to lift up your hand right now and hold it up for just a moment. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, all over the place. Listen to me. That is a testimony right there that God is moving in your heart and that he wants you to reach out to somebody because the will is on the inside of us. Right now, I ask you to lift up both hands. And I ask you to start to pray for those people that you're going to run into. God, we pray for those people that we're going to have divine appointments with. We pray for those people that we're going to run into, the co-workers, the people in the restaurant, the people in Walmart, the people in the stores, the people, Lord, that we meet with that are family members that don't know you. Right now, God, we pray that you would give us divine words to speak into them, that you would let our actions speak louder than those words, and that, God, we would go the extra mile to make sure that they know that they are welcome in this place, that we'll do whatever it takes to bring them in, and that, God, we would show them, Lord, the experiences that we have had with your presence, the experiences we have had with your glory. Let your Spirit pour out in us. Set those times up, God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.